Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me today in the studio is the producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Your friend and ours. That's right. No gel this morning. Must have been a rough night, rough morning. Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day, good day. You're joining us, VFN Radio. We're excited about joining with you today. We have a fantastic program. We're going to be talking about what's happening in Texas. What's happening in Texas? Protest in Egypt.
Another one?
Another one. We're going to talk about it. Thousands.
Wow.
We're going to talk about what you need to stir up and what you don't need to stir up today. Hello, hello. Well, guys, talk to us. I mean, I know that this was a very powerful weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful weekend. And I know that some of us had some excursions and some, you know, fun activity, Chris. And Chris and I were talking yesterday, and we just made a mental note. You know how you look at someone and you just make eye contact? Without saying a word, you just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know? You know, Chris and I have this eye, you know, contact thing going on. And yesterday we gave each other that, you know, eye contact. And when that one, you know, blinking of an eye, that one connection, we communicated thousands of words.
Did you know?
Yeah. The main one was...
Can you share a couple?
Well we're going to share them. Well, we're going to believe you. You settle your horses down, brother. We're going to get to them. And we just, you know, it's like there's one look where you communicate thousands of words and you just, we get it. And then there's another look that just says, mark that. Just you know, mark that
mental note.
Mental note. And Chris, I mean, you can remember this, but we found out that some of us this weekend, you know, one of us in particular, not me or you, Steve, but one of us here,
the suspense is killing me.
Had an excursion. Pat, talk to us. What happened this weekend? What happened?
I was wondering where I was going here, back and forth there.
What do you mean? What? What are you talking about?
Didn't you go somewhere this weekend? I mean, what what happened this weekend?
Well.
Yeah, talk to us, please.
Well, you know, it was me and my wife's anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
17 years of bliss.
Praise the Lord. Wow.
So, you know, I just did a little something, took her out.
Okay.
Fed her, you know.
Fed her.
Bought her a couple things.
Oh. I guess every other time of the year he doesn't
feed
her.
What a swell guy.
Yeah, you know. Just trying to keep up with you, man. That's all I can say.
Not trying to keep up with me because, interesting, Chris, how he leaves something out.
Yeah, he left a lot out.
Left a lot out. Steve, I don't know if you heard this. I don't know if you heard this, but I was shocked. He said he took his wife out. You know, I said, nice.
You know, very nice. Caring.
Of course, what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. But then I heard that they went shopping.
They did.
So, my thought was, wow.
I wonder whether
he would take her shopping. I mean, I said, wow. But I didn't find out. And he was taking her shopping to buy him something. What is this going on?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, nice duds. I mean, he was styling them. Chris, did you see that?
I saw it.
I did.
And she made a point to point it out.
Oh. Mm. Yeah, I was
She was
like,
proud of her man, you know. He was looking good.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, the things you learn, Steve. All you got to do is just listen. The things you learn. Interesting.
Look, We just happened to pass by a bunch of my stores. And then I took it to one of her stores.
Oh, okay.
Which happened to be a few miles down the road. So we all got a little bit of...
Oh, my goodness.
Shout out of our
little
system.
Stuff, little stuff. Man, that's love, man. I mean, you know, it's... Talk about face melting experiences.
Oh my goodness.
Like, honey, are we done yet? All right. This is love here. This is love.
I'm loving you right now.
I am loving you right now because I'm melting here. I'm shopping and women's stuff. And see, a guy goes shopping and he says, you know, I like that, don't like that, don't like that. Okay, done. Go. Bam, boom.
That's it.
Finish.
You know,
get
finish.
Out. Let's go.
It's over. You know, unless, of course, it's electronics, and then we can spend hours. You know, at least I can.
This is true.
You know, hours.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you know when a lady goes shopping, no offense here, ladies. You
sometimes.
Know, well, you know, hey, I'm trying to be generous. They like to look and see and, you know, hey.
Have no intention of buying anything.
I don't.
They just want to look at it.
Hey, I don't know about that. You know, I just it hurts me. I just got to go. I start melting. We are definitely wired different. Not better, just different.
That's right.
And I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that. As long as I don't go too often, I can appreciate that. But you know, on a serious note this morning, guys, you know, just Sunday, yesterday, I don't know if you guys were aware of this, there was a fire in Arizona, a serious, serious fire. And it started on Sunday, and there was an elite team of 19 firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
Get this, they lost their life yesterday. They lost their life in this 2,000-acre fire. Now, you understand that there's been a heat wave on the West Coast that has gotten as high as 130 degrees.
Wow.
I mean, it's been hot.
Did you say 130?
The 130.
That's hot.
As high. Wow. Yes, sir.
I didn't know that's even possible.
Oh, I didn't think so either. Till I saw the sign, I was like, "Oh my goodness!"
Wow,
I was thrown away. Now, I don't know how hot it was in Arizona, but they're part of that heat wave, and it's just tragic. I mean, ABC's reporting that at 3 a.m. in the morning, this happened in Yarnell. The Yarnell fire had tripled in size and was now blossoming to 6,000 acres.
Wow.
6,000 acres, and our hearts are with the families that lost these firefighters. And my understanding is that these guys were an elite team, and they backpack into areas. I mean, I don't know. I can't even begin to understand that type of training and what they have to endure. I mean, it's already hot. I mean, 130 degrees.
Yeah. I'm a little familiar with it. I went through a fire academy for a while. I'm sure it's not as intense as what they go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's pretty intense. It's really hot. They're throwing in the fire and everything.
Wow.
Just so you know how it feels.
Just so you know how it feels. Mm-hmm. Well, I can only imagine, but, you know, these men, man, they gave their lives, and these are folks that put themselves in harm's danger every single day. We have firefighters, we have first responders all over this country. We thank God for them. You never know how much they do and how valuable their services are until they're the one coming to rescue you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I saw this firsthand when I was a chaplain at LSU Medical Center, where I saw, I mean, the police, I saw fire, and I saw all these first responders respond to people that had, tragic things that happened to them. And no one was expecting to have an accident. Nobody was expecting to have a trial in their life. And then to know that there are these professionals that, I mean, they're on the spot, man. They show up, there's a fire in your home, if there's an accident, the paramedics, I'm talking about the police officers, all the first responders, if I'm leaving anybody out, please forgive me, but this was a tragedy. I know the CBN did a little segment. Let's hear what they have to say, and we'll come back.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the CBN News Channel. I'm Ephraim Graham.
And I'm Charlene Israel. The state of Arizona is mourning the loss of 19 elite firefighters. They died Sunday battling a wildfire near Prescott. It is the greatest loss of firefighters in this country since 9/11. Heather Sells has more.
The firefighters were battling 6,000 acres of blazing brush northwest of Phoenix. Fed by gusty winds and triple-digit heat, the flames exploded out of control.
We're devastated. We just lost 19 of some of the finest people you'll ever meet. I mean, right now, we're in crisis.
19 of the 20-member crew of the Granite Mountain Hotshots died, with a lone survivor in a separate location. Across the country, 110 hotshot crews are trained to hike into the wilderness and build lines of protection between people and fires. In this case, officials say the fast-moving blaze encircled the team, forcing all 19 to deploy fire-resistant shelters like this one.
When you have that much fuel and that dry conditions and those kind of wind conditions, it can become extremely unpredictable.
This fire was very radical in its behavior. That's what caused the deaths. It was the change in the radical behavior of the burning fuels. They were just caught up in a very bad situation.
In a statement, the governor noted, it may be days or longer before an investigation reveals how this tragedy occurred. But the essence we already know in our hearts, fighting fires is dangerous work. The Arizona tragedy is the largest loss of firefighters battling a wildfire in 80 years. It's still blazing out of control in Yarnell, 80 miles northwest of Phoenix. It has consumed half the structures in town. Most people have evacuated. Heather Sells, CBN News.
Wow, that's powerful. Lord, we just pray for that fire to be contained and loss of life. We pray for the family members that are mourning the loss of these brave firemen. And to think that people like that, that do this job every single day like that, you know, God bless them. And we just pray for their safety and those fires to go away. But you think about what's happening. I mean, it's almost every single week now. We're sharing and we're seeing all across the world.
Devastation,
Devastation, tragedies. I mean, there were some fires in Colorado we didn't even get a chance to talk about. But I had some friends that lived on Colorado. They were evacuated from their neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
Most of their that area was people lost homes. But praise God, they're believers. They love the Lord. And their house was spared, man. Their house was their house was absolutely spared, and not even their landscaping. They had like just did this you know, elaborate landscaping they were able to do for their home and stuff, and not a bit of it was touched. And we just thank God for that. And
it's amazing.
It's totally amazing. But it gets us to think about, listen, you know, things happen.
Yeah,
things happen, and you don't want to take life for granted, and you don't want to. Did you say, oh, it's no big deal? Listen, things are happening all over this country, whether there's water flood, whether there's fires, whether there's all kind of inclement weather in terms of 130-degree heat. I mean, we're seeing unprecedented things happening. It's time to wake up. It's time to catch a clue. It's time not to throw everything off on a supposed, you know, climate change and all this type of stuff. It's like, come on now. Let's get a pulse. You know, man is always quick, you know, man that doesn't know God is always quick to throw some sort of scientific understanding or theory behind things that are happening because they can't equate things to the hand of God. But listen, you need to wake up. We need to be alert and understand that, listen, you know, God sees everything. He's aware of everything. And we're just looking at a perfect type of storm that's happening. And it's just time for us to wake up and it's time for us to say, listen, Lord, you know, I want to be right. I want to be on the right side of truth. I want to be with you, and I want to live for you forever.
Yeah.
You know, and we can take heed from these situations. It's one thing that when we see devastation upon devastation, we can actually take heed and say, my goodness, what if that was me? You know, what if that was my last breath? It's one thing about funerals. Oftentimes people don't like going to funerals. I don't know anyone that does. But I've been to quite a bunch of funerals in my life. I've lost... I mean, I would dare say over 20 funerals. And there's one thing about going to funerals, and I went a bunch of them, almost half of them as a child. My parents knew a lot of folks, and I would go to these funerals with a small child, as you know, and sit there. And there's one thing about funerals that can be redeemed. Sure, we want to honor the person that lived, and now they're no longer here. Sure, we want to comfort family members that and friends that are suffering and mourning. But there's a redeeming quality about a funeral. The next time you go to one, it's to start thinking. I mean, I'll walk away every funeral thinking, what if that was me? You know, would I be okay? What, you know, am I happy with how my life has been up to this point? And have I done everything that I felt supposed to do? And am I doing what God wants me to do? And am I in the right place with God? There's a sobering quality about it. And especially if you knew the person that passed away, because you realize you're looking at a shell. You're looking at the shell of the person, but who they really are is not there. In our country, oftentimes we try to shelter our children from experiencing and seeing death. Maybe we don't bring them to a funeral because we don't want to see them mourn. You know, there is a healthy thing about seeing the finality of death. There is a healthy thing about having a teaching moment, especially mm-hmm. with a child. Depending on the age, you have to use wisdom, and everyone mm-hmm. knows their own child. But there's a teaching moment there to realize that, listen, not everyone's promised tomorrow.
Yeah.
That we will all die one day.
That's right.
And we even had someone amongst our fellowship that was spared by, you know, by God. It was in a wreck. And it just gets you to think about, wow, you know, make the most of today, mm-hmm. today, this moment. Mm-hmm. You know, the next time you feel depressed or you feel like you're being attacked about things that are going difficult and bad and tough in your life, listen, it can always be worse.
Mm-hmm.
You could not be here.
That's right.
You, it could be all said and done. And I always say that, listen, a bad day with Jesus is better than a great day with the devil. You know, I'd take a bad day with the Lord any day.
Mm-hmm.
And because at the end, although, you know, we go through trials and tribulations and we don't know what tomorrow holds, if you know Jesus Christ, at least you know the one that holds tomorrow.
That's right.
You know what I mean? At least you know the one that will walk you through the storm
yeah.
and the fires of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's worth everything.
Yeah.
That's worth everything. So I want to encourage you today that, you know, take a pause out of the day. Take a pause and reflect on the greatness of God, and take a pause on your own life and look at these warnings that are happening all across the country and saying, what about me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about me? What if I was to be gone today or physically impaired or whatever the case may be? Am I okay today with where I'm at with God?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Am I okay with where I am with my family? And am I okay with my life and what I'm doing with it? You know, your life and your time is the most precious resource you have. It's not money. It's not things. It's your time.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you that once your time leaves, once you've spent your time, right? Once it's gone.
You can't get any more.
Yeah.
It's over.
You can't get it back.
Mm-mm.
You can't get it back. And you can do one of two things with time. You can spend time or you can invest time. But you got to choose which one you want to do. See, some people just spend time. Let's just spend time together.
Or waste it.
Or waste yeah. it, yeah.
Yeah. Or waste it.
Mm-hmm.
Which one you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because spending to me is kind of like wasting. It's kind of, you can kind of, you know, put it together. You're just kind of just living it out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're having get together with friends, hopefully you're investing in each other's relationship. When you take from that perspective, you're investing. You want to build and see value and see that relationship go deeper. Just not spending time just to spend time.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't get it back. Or anything else that you do in your life. Listen, seize today. Do the best of what you can today with the time that you have, because tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. All you and I or any of us have is today.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at BFNTV.com. Student rights and prayer. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a senior in high school, and they have a prayer group that meets at school, and the school is not letting them have this prayer meeting inside the building.
Well, that's absolutely incorrect. They should have the right to meet in the building before the beginning of the school day. They have the right to pray. But there is nothing in the Constitution or in our court's opinions that prohibit prayer before, after, or during the school day. Here you're before the school day. I'm sure they allow other groups to meet before. The students are allowed to come in. You're not requiring participation. It's student-led and student-initiated. It's met all the criteria that the Supreme Court has said are the requirements for allowance of unequal access. That's what this is. You hang on the line. We'll get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice and get you some help.
Learn more about student rights and the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
There is nothing, I mean nothing, Pat, mm-hmm. worse than man's religion.
Yeah.
You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in mm-hmm. my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. Mm-hmm. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. Mm-hmm. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time in a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. Mm-hmm. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org.
You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that, you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're just talking about the fires in Arizona. And my goodness, our heart just goes out to all of those family members that have lost loved ones. And we continue to pray that this fire is contained and that no one else gets injured and no one else gets hurt or die in this fire. But you know, last week, guys, we were talking about what's going on with God answering our prayers. I mean, we're so excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've been praying for quite a while, ourselves and others too. A really simple yet powerful prayer.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And it's, dear God, end abortion, send revival.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And let me tell you that God is answering that prayer.
I mean, he's responding. Oh, yeah.
And we saw that with Gosnell, those, you know, landmark, unprecedented case.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear us talk about abortion. You hear us talk about this from time to time. Listen, it's important. Why is it important? Because it's important before God, what you're talking about and what we're talking about since 1973, 50 million babies, 50 plus millions, because now we have the Plan B abortion pill, 50 plus that we know of, babies have been killed, murdered, and that's innocent blood before God. I mean, we are disobeying one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt cannot commit murder, and that blood is spilling out. And none of us have the right. None of us have the right to take the life of somebody else. And that goes against any human decency, really. You think about it, just, you know, you wouldn't kill a person next door. You wouldn't, you know, that's, but then when you talk about a commandment of God, a commandment of God. And so we talked about how 3,322 abortions are committed a day, and that's 138 abortions every hour, one every 2 minutes, all across the country in the United States. And you have to think about, how does God feel about that? I mean, his heart aches and hurts for that. And what happens with intercession is that God allows us to feel a little bit of his pain. He allows us to feel a little bit of hurt. If we felt all of God's pain, we couldn't bear that. But he shares. He allows us to feel a portion of what he feels, and we become burdened with his heart. So it always starts in the origination of God. It hits us in our heart, and then God, believe it or not, partners with us. He looks and looks for a man, looks and looks for a woman to stand in the gap, Ezekiel tells us. And then since he's given us authority upon the earth, we pray and we loose upon the earth. We pray, we synchronize heaven and earth together, and we pray the heart of God, dear God, end abortion, send revival, and it goes back up to the Lord, and the Lord answers, and it's just a continual circle, if you will. Well, we talked about the priest for life last week, the open letter that he wrote, Frank Pavone, Priest Frank Pavone, and he wrote this letter to Nancy Pelosi, a congressional leader, because she is a Catholic, a self-professing Catholic, who said that for her, an abortion is a sacred thing, being a mother of five, and she considered a sacred thing. And the Priest for Life said, listen, there's nothing sacred about abortion. The word sacred means holy. It's sacrilegious, but it's not sacred. And if you miss this, if you really miss this, you really want to go to the torch, and you can go to the torch by going to VFNTV.com and selecting the word torch, or the flaming torch that we have there. And you can type in priests, and what you'll see is an article or a segment entitled Priests for Life, Open Letter to Nancy Pelosi. Abortion is not sacred, it's sacrilegious. But we also talked about how all these laws are happening all across the country. And the last one in Wisconsin, they just passed a law that said if you have an abortion, you need to have an ultrasound. You need to know what's happening here, because once it's over, it's done. You can't reverse that. You need to know what is in the mother's womb. And then I thought that was wise. And then in Florida, Bill 1129, Baby Alive Bill, says that these babies who were born under a botched abortion, listen, they have a right to live. You have to do everything in your power to make sure that that baby gets the help and the rescue and that they need.
Absolutely.
So that they can live.
That's right.
And then now in Texas, we shared that there was a bill that went forth to ban abortions after 20 weeks. And as they were trying to pass this bill, there was an 11-hour filibuster by a legislator, Wendy Davis. It was 11 hours. 11 hours. And the president got behind it and tweeted something out. She only had just a couple thousand, if that, followers. And by the end of that evening, she had 22,000 followers on Twitter. And we weren't sure that they voted. And because there was protesters, there was a time limit for the special session to end, and we weren't sure what happened. I mean, they weren't sure if they had the votes were before or after. It was such a ruckus, they couldn't hear anything, and so we basically ended that segment with, we'll get back with you, and we, you know, for an update. Well, listen, we have an update. Texas Governor Rick Perry called a second special session. That means he's called them all back in for another 30 days. And they're getting ready to pass this bill, this bill that bans abortions after 20 weeks. And there's some other stipulations involved in there that basically would stop or hinder abortions on a very large scale all across the state of Texas. And they were quoted. Wendy Davis was quoted in Fox as saying that these are matters of personal liberty. These are matters of personal liberty. In Texas, we hold very dear to intrusion against our personal liberty.
Mm-hmm.
We fight very hard against that, and we will fight as we begin the session again on Monday. Now, this is what Wendy Davis was quoted as saying. And it's interesting to me that she would use those words, that these are matters of personal liberty. That these are matters of personal liberty. When the question is, whose liberties are we talking about?
Right.
Are we talking about a woman's liberty? We're talking about the liberty of a child that's born.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about banning abortions
right.
after 20 weeks. Do you know what a baby looks like 20 weeks in the womb? This is serious. We have this little video we're going to show you from a baby center. You can, at any web search available on the internet, you can simply search, what does a baby look like in 20 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to make this related for you on the torch, but I want you to listen to what they describe as happening in the womb of a woman who's pregnant with a child. Listen up.
Between 15 and 20 weeks, your baby will more than double in size. As his body grows, his nervous system is rapidly maturing. His nerves are connecting his brain to the rest of his body, traveling from the brain through the brainstem and down the spine, and beginning to extend into his torso and limbs. Your baby's skeleton is changing too. The soft cartilage is starting to harden into bone. This happens first in the arms and legs. Sensory development is picking up speed. Your baby's brain is designating special areas for smell, taste, hearing, vision, and touch. At this stage, your baby may be able to hear your heartbeat and voice. So read aloud or sing a happy tune. Your baby may even be sucking his thumb now.
Mm.
At about 18 weeks, you'll start to experience one of the most exciting parts of pregnancy, feeling your baby's movements. His flexing arms and legs may feel like gentle flutters at first. They'll become even stronger and more frequent in the weeks ahead. At 20 weeks, your baby weighs a little more than 10 ounces and measures about 10 inches from head to heel, about the length of a banana. This week is a big milestone, the halfway point in your pregnancy.
A halfway point in your pregnancy?
Wow.
You're talking about aborting, killing a baby that has mm-hmm. sensory? The whole thing is that the baby can feel pain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It has a nervous system that detaches the spinal cord.
Yeah.
And although it's the size of a banana, think about just the miraculous power of God. Of what can be created in 9 months.
Amazing.
Amazing. But in 20 weeks, why would anyone be supportive of this?
Mm.
And this is the right thing. And what we're doing in the eyes of God, what are we saying? When the Bible clearly says that God knit me in my mother's womb.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Are we trying to destroy the knitting of God? And that's what we have been doing. And it's like, careful, careful. You're talking about the liberties, yes, I stand with you, but it's the liberties of the babies, mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. liberties of those babies that have a right to live. And we don't have the right to take a child's life.
Right.
We just don't. Mm. And it's really powerful. This was Wendy Davis's statement. She's the legislator who had the 11-hour filibuster. And I said that her Twitter account was couple thousand. It was actually started at 1,200,
mm-hmm.
and in 24,000, mm-hmm. and 24 hours, 83,000. It went to 83,000 followers.
Wow.
You know, they're looking at flooding Texas now with $36 million in a battleground for Texas and grassroots to try to combat all this. And Lieutenant Governor, you know, the Governor Rick Perry, he can call as many special sessions as he wants to call. And he can set the agenda.
Yeah.
So he's very confident that this is going to pass. Mm-hmm. Very confident about this. And then the Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst, who oversees the whole thing going on, the passing of the law,
mm-hmm.
he's quoted saying, "Believe me, Believe me, Dewhurst told reporters, I have spent most of my time between 4 a.m. on Wednesday and Monday and through yesterday making sure that when I give an order to clear the gallery, it's done, because they have concern that they're going to have mass protests now when they go to sign this bill, and this, to vote on this bill and pass it. They did before. That's why they couldn't hear anything. He says, oh, we have made arrangements. And my understanding is that if the protesters will be allowed, but if they become unruly where they can't conduct business, then he's going to have them escorted and, I guess, out. And I guess he's made the necessary arrangements for that. But you're looking, I mean, you're looking at across the country. You're looking at what's happening. I mean, states like Florida, Wisconsin, Texas, and there's other states. I mean, the House itself passed the bill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. House Congress passed the bill. I mean, listen, God is answering our prayers.
Yeah.
And it's time not to shrink back, but it's time to continue to move forward and continue to pray and continue to pray for what's happening in Texas and those that are standing for life and standing for liberties of all people.
Yeah.
Listen, rights are for all people, including babies. And we just got to wake up. When you think about, there are some people that treat animals, animals,
right,
better than they would treat a baby in a womb.
Even unborn animals.
Come on now.
Get protection. More than unborn babies.
How many Discovery Channel shows do you need to see?
Yeah, right.
How many programs you need to see people that risk life and limb to go into the depths of the ocean to save dolphins that are being born? It's like, come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now. And at the core of our heart, at the core, we know. You got to know. You got to know. You have a conscience. You got to know. And for the sake of convenience, for the sake of not wanting our lives to be this, you know, disturbed or you know, making wrong decisions. Listen, we cannot throw babies, you know, on the altar any longer.
That's right.
And we need to ask God for His forgiveness. We need to ask God to end abortion, and we definitely ask God to send revival, because that's what our nation needs right now. We need a revival. We need an outpouring. I mean, a revival just happens, and you can't manufacture one. It's just God outpouring His Spirit. But we need a revival, an outpouring that's going to change not just the country, but the world.
Amen.
But the world. And there's a move of God happening in South Africa right now, but we need multiple fires of God going all across this country. And it just takes believers, it takes people that love God, that accepted Jesus Christ in their heart as the Lord and Savior, to say, listen, I don't want to stand no more for the status quo. I don't want to give up. And you talk to enough people out there, and it's almost like you think that people could be just giving up. They're just saying, well, that's just the way it's going to be, and I'm just going to hold on until Jesus comes back. It's like, come on now. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Hope for America, hope for the church, is an outpouring of God.
Mm-hmm.
An outpouring God that changes us from the inside out and says, I want more. I want more of God. We want it to change the way we think, the way we talk, the way we act. And when it changes us, then it'll become to change the society. Listen, you can't change a country until you first change a state.
Mm-hmm.
And you see some states starting to change.
That's right.
But you can't change states until you start seeing communities. You start seeing districts. You start seeing neighborhoods begin to change. Well, you can't change a neighborhood and a district and an area and a region until you start changing the families.
Mm-hmm.
It's the families. Families have to come together. And if you missed VFN Radio last week, we talked about, is your family on the right page? Families today are on all different pages of different books, let alone
the
one
book. Yeah,
right.
You know, I mean, some may say we're just happy to be on this in the same book. Well, listen, that's not enough.
Mm-mm.
You got to be on the right page,
yeah.
And it can't be a blank page. You have to have governing values, and God needs to be on it.
Mm-hmm,
because a family that prays together is a family that stays together.
Yeah.
But it's not even just about the families; it's about the individual. See, when God touches the individual, when one is willing to stand up, you say, well, what can I do? Look at what one man, one woman has been able to do across history. One man, one woman. Words, actions that changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're still talking about them. So don't let anyone tell you that you're just one person. Listen, one person, you and God, you're a majority. But you have to decide to say, listen, if no one else, God, if no one else stands for truth, if no one else wants you, if no one else, it's going to be me.
Amen.
I'm willing to stand in the gap, and I'm willing to pray, and I'm willing to go after the heart of God. Because I believe, Jesus, I believe that this country, the church can be one, that this country can be one, that the world, that nations can be one in a day.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I lived for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging. Is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFN TV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network, and like, really, how do you explain this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And you listen to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. And we're talking about abortion and what's happening in Texas. The governor, Rick Perry, is calling a second special session where all the state legislators got to come back for another 30 days, and the governor gets to call as many of these as he wants, and he also gets to set the agenda. And what they're getting ready to pass, and he feels very confident, they're going to pass a bill that's going to end abortion in Texas after 20 weeks. And we looked at a video, and we saw this video, and we related for you on the torch about how developed the baby is in 20 weeks. It has feeling.
Yeah.
It has a spine. The nervous system is connected to the spine.
Mm-hmm.
It can hear. Baby can hear your voice.
Yeah.
It's encouraged to sing to your baby at 20 weeks. Well, you say, well, the baby can't feel anything. Can the baby hear anything? Well, so what the Bible tells us.
It hears your voice. My goodness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us, remember when Mary was coming to see Elizabeth?
Yeah.
And at the sound of Mary's voice, Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. Elizabeth's testimony is, the baby leaped inside of me. The baby leaped at the sound of your voice.
Mm-hmm.
They hear.
Yeah.
They hear. That's why it's important when you are having a child that you have the right environment in your home place and, you know, what's going on. And because the babies hear everything. They hear this stuff. They have the ability to hear. And what's sad is you wonder, because we played one time, I don't know if you remember this, we played a rap song by the rep, and he was rapping a song from the perspective of the baby in the womb.
Man, yeah, powerful.
And that was absolutely powerful. But if the baby can hear, can you imagine that a baby is hearing? I mean, obviously they can't formulate, and you know, it's just fetus. But to think that they could actually just hear, it's absolutely amazing. You know, the woman that was present when Governor Rick Scott of Florida signed the Baby Alive Bill, House Bill 1129. You know, she was actually a survivor of a botched abortion. She was born November 29th.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And how amazing is that?
Yeah.
How amazing is that? Listen, we need to stand. We need to stand for what's right, for the rights of all people.
Yeah.
We make the determination of who can live now. Careful, careful. Somebody else can make that determination later.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so important that we respect life. That's right. We respect what God has instituted.
Yeah, it's a huge stark contrast compared to the people who have that argument saying that it's just tissue.
Yeah.
And that's a huge
exactly.
truth of just saying the fact that, like, tissue can hear. It's not tissue, it's life.
Yeah.
It's just powerful what God does and how he just knits us.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You're going to be amazed when you see this video because it shows the baby in detail.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows exactly what's going on. Very, very powerful. Lord, dear God, end abortion, send revival.
Amen.
You know, we're coming to the end of the first hour, but we're also coming an end to the series that we started last week with Judge Napolitano, and we had this series called The Constitution and Freedom, and it was a fantastic series, and this is the last one. We want you to listen to it and listen to the final part of Constitution and Freedom. We'll be right back.
All of us need to be reminded that the federal government did not create the states. The states created the federal government.
In Reagan's view, the federal government had become so heavy-handed, so commandeering, so authoritarian over the states, that the American people needed a little history lesson and an indication of just where the new president stood. Well, Reagan was right. The 13 colonies that fought the revolution and won the revolution and wrote the Constitution, all preceded the federal government. They voluntarily associated with each other in order to form the new government. In one moment of victory from England, the colonies became states. The states were sovereign. They were nation states. They were as independent from each other as they were from England after the revolution. They had their own governments, their own militias, their own courts, and their own representatives to the other states. When the 13 colonies that had become states enacted the Constitution and voluntarily agreed to form the new government, they gave away some of their sovereignty, the right to coin money, the right to raise a military, the right to run a post office, the right to engage in foreign relations with other countries, the right to operate a national court system. All of this went to the feds. But the states retained for themselves what lawyers and judges call the police power. The police power does not refer to police as in cops and sheriffs. It refers to the right and power of the states to legislate for the health, safety, welfare, and morality of the people in the states. That is the core of the power retained by the states under the Constitution. As other territories joined the Union, from Florida to Louisiana, from Maine to Texas, from California to Alaska, they each gave to the feds the powers that they formerly had that were federal in nature, and they all retained for themselves the powers that were governmental in nature, the police power. The states also retained a veto of sorts over the growing federal government. Since the U.S. Senate, which is half of the Congress, consisted not of senators popularly elected as they are today, but of senators chosen by the state legislatures, the senators were, in reality, delegates from the states to the central government. When the Congress attempted to seize some of the state's police power, state regulation of health, safety, welfare, and morality, if the senators wanted to keep their jobs, they voted against such seizures. This was the genius of the federal system. The federal government regulated within its limited area. The states regulated within their limited area. The senators and fidelity to the Constitution kept the feds in check. All this changed after the Civil War. The folks who ran the government after Lincoln's death demanded surrender of power from the returning southern states. The federal government was taken over by big government progressives, and slowly but surely, power began to flow from each state to Washington, D.C. Progressives took over many state governments. The Constitution was amended in good ways to prohibit slavery, to compel equal protection, and to permit women to vote, and in bad ways to permit a federal income tax, to elect senators by popular vote, and to prohibit the sale of alcohol. So the states no longer had a check on federal power. The feds could now take money directly from those who worked the hardest. And the feds, who for 150 years had left individuals alone, began to tell folks what to eat, what to drink, how many hours to work, and what they should earn, even though the power to do all this was retained by the Constitution for the states. It gets worse. Do you ever wonder why speed limits and drunk driving rules are all uniform throughout the U.S.? This is clearly an area left for the states to regulate. How could they all have come up with the same rules? Well, they didn't. Congress bribed the states to change their laws. Here's how it works. Congress is filled with do-gooders who think they can write any law, regulate any behavior, and tax any event. So when they can grab power from the states, they will do so. But when the Constitution prohibits the power grab that the do-gooders want, they offer the states money, and in return, the states enact the laws that Congress wants. Thus, the Congress has said to the states, "We will give you hundreds of millions of dollars to repave your highways if you lower the speed limits to where we want them." Bingo! The states take the money. Congress gets its way, and more power flows from the states to Washington. One of the beauties of our federal system was the difference between the states. If you didn't like the taxes in Massachusetts, you could move to New Hampshire. If you objected to all the pervasive government in New Jersey, you could move to Pennsylvania. As President Reagan once put it, you could vote with your feet. This is no longer true. The Congress has so usurped power from the states via legislation and outright bribery that you can hardly tell the difference from one state to another. Will we ever return to the freedom and the choices we once enjoyed?
This has been a wonderful series by Judge and
Judge Napolitano called Constitution and Freedom, and we're recognizing and seeing that just because things are the way they are today doesn't mean that this was the original intent. So yeah. We're after the original intent of the Constitution and what the founding fathers learned from their wisdom. And the thing about wisdom is that we can borrow the experience so that we don't have to buy the experience.
Yeah.
Listen, we're learning a lot. And our goal and our desire that after this series and as we continue to share and talk about this is that we get a better understanding of the Constitution, the freedoms that are afforded to us, so that we can preserve this great nation.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Vine Fellowship Network University. It is amazing when you live and breathe and be educated in the things of God through a rhema word, what God is saying now to his people, what we need to know now and do in this generation. Listen, it's so encouraging. It's amazing. And it's so enlightening, and it's not as hard as religion's made it out to be, and it's not frivolous like the rebellious has made it out to be, but it is important. It's learning the things of God and a quick learning path depending on your time and also moving at the pace that you need to move it. Listen, you got to check it out. You've got to check. It's time to say, you know what, I want to go deeper in God maybe, or you can say, not only do I want to go deeper, but I believe that there is a church plant inside of me. I want to start in my city, in my state, in my country, a church. I want to plant a church. I want the vine to begin to grow in my own city, but I need to know. I need to be rightly related. I need to know what I need to do. Well, Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. Check it out, vfnu.org, vfnu.org.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcasts.
John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com. And click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.